Welcome to the MegaCast.
And welcome everybody to the MegaCast, episode number 105. You may be asking yourself, but what happened to 104? Well, our webcam struck again. This is Wilco. We still are trying to find Perko. I don't know. He's somewhere in New Zealand.
We think he's dead. Yeah, I think he's dead.
I think he's been abducted by hobbits and dragons. And
well, the hobbits are using his phone because he's technically online in Discord, but he's non-responsive at the moment. So anything could have happened. Send help. Send flares. Yeah, help the men out. But we do look pretty much 106. Look forward to story time with Perko again. So it will be back very soon. But yes, joining me tonight is Uber Timmy. How you going, mate?
Good. Very, very good. Tired, but good. Yeah.
That's good. We're going to do a quick one tonight because Just Cause 4 is released and I need to go play it, so don't hold us up at all. So, Josh, welcome back, mate.
Thanks,
buddy.
How
you going? It's been a while, the voice of reason.
It has. I'm not around too much at the moment. Just busy,
one podcast,
man.
In 3 months. It's been good.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, you haven't had to listen to me fucking... Well, it's not that I ramble all that much anyways, you know.
Yeah,
I don't do story time.
Just Cause 4 is released, mate. Come on.
Sorry. I'll shut up now. Good to see you. So, good to talk to you.
Thank you, mate. It is just the three of us. Now, technically, we probably should be doing a Game of the Year episode next week. We will see what happens with that. If not, it might be the one before Christmas. But get your predictions or your thoughts in now in our Discord channel. We've got the MegaCast channel in there. Just tell us what your highlights of the year have been, or lowlights as well. We'll cover them all and we'll get them on the show when we talk next week. But let's go into what we've been up to. I'm going to start with Josh because you've got the smallest list, mate.
I got a pretty small list.
Oh, look, it says Warframe on there again. How's the party? How are you going? What have you been playing?
So, look, I've just been flat. Like, I'm not getting home of a night after work. Like, if I'm not staying back at work to get shit done, then I'm at sport or something. So it's 7:30, 8 o'clock by the time I get home and then do dinner and stuff. So I'm not actually playing a lot. So the Switcher has been getting a little bit of a workout. I've been playing a little bit more of Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, but not a lot. I also did download Warframe on the Switch.
Now, you don't have a PC account, so you can't transfer.
Yeah, I've got a PC account. I've got a PC account.
Did you do
as well.
The transfer setup?
No, not yet at all.
So you started,
not yet at
started
all.
From beginning.
Yeah, I've started. And look, it's probably, if you're stepping into it on your Switch without having played it, it's probably going to be pretty good. But I am now so used to keyboard and mouse that the control scheme is pretty hard to get a handle of and relearn all of that, because it is a very fast-paced game, and I'm starting to feel like maybe the way the controls are set up on the Switch, it's not built to or set up for that kind of fast pace, you know, to do your bullet dives and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a lot of buttons you've got to press and they're kind of spread out a little bit. Again, I haven't played a lot of it, and I have only played it in handheld mode. I haven't played it docked yet and put the Joy-Cons onto an actual, like, a controller base. So that may
change. Are you an animal?
Do
you not have a pro controller?
No, I don't have a pro controller. Don't be silly.
How are you? Wow, Dark Ages.
Yeah, man. Oh, look, I reckon I'll get one with Super Smash, but no.
You disappoint me.
Oh, shut up. How about them apples?
How's it run on the Switch, you boy?
It runs well.
Yeah, it seemed to run fine. Again, like, it's only the introductory levels. I know, like, my laptop can struggle when you start getting into the Planes of Eidolon and stuff, and there's a lot happening. Mm. I'm assuming the same thing will happen with the Switch, but I'm just not there. And realistically, to get there, either I've got to transfer my account across, or there's 200 hours worth of gameplay there. So who knows?
I couldn't dream of starting a game that I'm that far into again from scratch.
So look, I've played a little bit of that. The other thing I picked up on the weekend was Darksiders 3 on PS4,
which has been getting rave reviews from everyone.
I feel like you're lying to me.
Maybe.
apparently it's pretty unremarkable. Like, it's just average. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't disagree with that. Look,
it's THQ Nordic.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I mean, it is. If you've played number two, like Darksiders 2, the combat and everything is it's the same It is the same. The good thing, jumping from Darksiders 1 to Darksiders 2, is how they changed up how the combat worked and everything like that. You know, when you started playing as Death, he was more agile, you're dodging more and stuff like that. This is, it's the same. It's dodging, there's no blocking. Yeah, there's different weapons and the like, but it's still a hack and slash button mashy kind of game. That's what it's designed for. And that base hasn't changed for years. And probably will never change. What I'm just interested in getting maybe a conclusion to the storyline from 1 and 2. Who knows? I don't know. I am actually enjoying my time with it. Some of the battles that I've had so far have been a little bit difficult, but again, I've been pretty tired, so not paying a lot of attention. And it require you to pay some attention, because as I said, there's no blocking. You've got to dodge and stuff like that. But everybody else can fucking block, but you can't. I don't know. You've just forgotten how to do that, apparently.
You don't need to, mate. You've proven you're better than them.
Yeah, you're proving you're better than them. Look, it's something that I'm going to play, and I'll play through to the end, and we'll see if we get to some kind of conclusion of the overall story. I kind of hope, it sounds dumb, but I kind of hope we don't, only so that I hope maybe down the track there'll be a number 4 and we get to play as the Fourth Horseman Strife, and maybe that will be better. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, cool, probably.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I'm enjoying it so far.
Okay. Well, there you go.
And that's kind of me done.
Okay. Well, in the worst segue ever, we'll go back to games that run smoothly on Switch. What have you been up to, Timmy?
I played Big Bash Boom, like, briefly.
I did too.
Fucking garbage. Like, I'm really sorry to be so rude, but I'm so tired of these games releasing at $89.95 price points and just being trash.
So like, this is a cricket game on the Switch, yeah?
Well, it's a cricket game across all three consoles, but it's just, even on consoles, it's not great, but it's horrendous on the Switch. It's just, it's broken. Like, it's yeah.
So I skied many balls into the air to be caught out many times and only to somehow not have a wicket fall. There was balls that went clearly over top of the stumps that were, oh, that's a wide, you have to re-bowl that. Like, no. Okay. And there was obviously, I put out a picture of my uniform with no person inside it walking off the field.
So good.
And you get run out because your guy stops like just before the line and just puts his bat down on the ground and just stands at it. And you're like, dive. There's no dive button that I can find, or there's nothing like that. But the biggest one was I played this thriller. I'm playing a tournament through. It was the third match of the Big Bash series. And went to the Super Over, and they got 11 runs of the Super Over, and I smashed that in two balls and won. Walked off the field, went, yes, here we go, back to the top of the table. And here I am sitting in seventh. I'm like, what? This is one win, two losses. No, I've had two wins, one loss, and went through the record. That's exactly what it says. Yes, definitely. But the table recorded the last game as a loss, even though I've battled my way through and got a win. And at that point, I haven't played it since.
What you're really telling me is it's a lot like cricket in real life. Nobody really knows what the fuck's going on.
No,
there's a ball going everywhere.
I honestly felt
and the
like
only reason people go to watch it is to drink.
I felt like I was playing like grade 7 pub cricket down at the Oval on a Saturday afternoon, where the umpires just went, yeah, nah, it's not out, mate.
When the umpires had a few too many beers, doesn't even know where he is.
Yeah, it really gave me that feel. Like, the idea of the game is good, but at the $89.95 price tag, when you can get Ashes for $89.95 last year that had this game mode in it without the bells and whistles, and two other forms of the game included in it as well, you start to question why this is a full price game.
It just makes you wonder what they're doing. Like, this is the Big Bash League in Australia is what, it's been around for what, 5 years, 6 years now? I think we're coming up on BBL 6 now at the moment, I think. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but like, and its popularity is skyrocketing. And then they release a game this shit. Like, it literally is an insult to the franchise. I mean, Cricket Australia is not doing anything good at the moment for themselves, but like, they need to.
It's because they've got all their umpires drinking, and it's like playing Year 7 cricket on the field, and they don't give a shit.
It's just absolute garbage for a game that costs that much. It's not even worth $30. Not even that.
Yeah, and there is a patch coming soon. The weird thing is Switch doesn't include online, and I was very disappointed when I found that out. Like, I didn't read the fine print down the bottom. And I'm like, every other version has online play. And that's mainly what I was going to get it for. I was just going to play a few online games every now and then. But
so then like, I guess to segue a little bit and going along this line with the full price game of $89 on the Switch, what are your guys' thoughts of just the general price points for games like this on the Switch that don't run?
I think all games on the Switch technically are about 15-20% inflated on what they should be.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think.
Yeah, and when you see that, like, you know, official like Nintendo games like Mario Kart and stuff like that at $79.95, and then this shithouse cricket game that looks like it's been thrown together in a toilet, it comes out at $89.95. Like, I just don't understand that.
But even like the lower end games, like the games that you've seen on Steam and stuff like that, that then release on the Switch, they still feel like, okay, it's a $15 game elsewhere, but it's $23 on Switch for some reason. I know that they had the original idea where the online price could not be less than the shelf price of most games.
Oh, just quickly to cut you off. The other kicker is that you don't even get a fucking chip with the Switch version. You get a download code.
Yeah, so Big Bash Boom, you cannot buy a physical copy of it, but you can go into any store, retail store, and buy a copy of the game, but they give you the CD key. Now, what that means is you cannot refund that game. Because it's not a physical version. You can't walk back into your, you know, JB and say, hey, I didn't like this. This is shit. I want my money back. As soon as Nintendo's return policy is, with a digital code, is you've bought it, it's yours, bad luck. I'm like, fuck, they've put out a $90 game. They've not done a retail release of this so that no one can refund it, and they've just grabbed the money and gone.
Yeah, exactly what it is. So look, I'm not going to be buying a Big Ant game for a long time.
They did. It was almost the same fiasco last year when they did the Australian Open game. They pretty much, I think they published that as well, didn't they?
Yes. AO
Tennis. AO Tennis.
I don't want to like sound like Matt here, but fucking Nintendo, pull your head in.
You know, it's not. I don't think it's Nintendo in this space. Like, their refund policy is shit, but I don't think in this like instance, it's just a shit game that's been released at full price, and you can't get your money back.
We're playing it on Switch at the moment because we thought, look, it'd be a great game to play in handheld mode, and it was. I was playing it while watching TV, and it was great. That was the way I wanted to enjoy the game. I didn't want to, but I'm sure if we were playing on a PS4, we'd be going, "Hey, wouldn't have as many of the issues. We still have online play, but the game's very basic for the price they're charging for it." Yeah. Is what I'm trying to say. So. No matter where you buy it, it's not really Nintendo's fault. But yeah, I've just stolen Timmy's. What's his?
It's all right. Otherwise, I've just been playing the same old suspects, Siege and Division, and I also was playing Hellblade again because it got a physical release.
It got a retail release, didn't it?
Yeah, it got a physical release this week, and Hellblade for me was last year's best game. And
I've actually never played it.
Oh, yeah. It changed the way I look at video games when it comes to critical thought on them, like. The sound design in that game is just next level, and the acting, the performance by the main character is second to none, and it just makes
she was just like a writer or something for the game, and they said, I'll give it a go, and all of a sudden she's like winning awards for best.
I think as far like obviously mental illness is a very touchy subject, and it's something that not a lot of people will understand what other people suffering from it go through, but I feel like it's as close to experiencing schizophrenia from the perspective of someone suffering it that you will ever get. If you play that game with a headset, it is just next level unnerving. And I think it's brilliant. And it's only $45, so it's worth it. And that is a game that is worth the fucking price of admission.
Yeah.
So don't buy Fallout, don't buy Big Bash Boom, buy Hellblade, and you'll get your money's worth.
It's one of the many games last year that I went, yep, cool, I don't have time to play this, but I'm still going to give you my money at full price. Mm. So I bought it sitting in my Steam library. I'll play it one day, but I just haven't had a chance.
Oh, you should. You should dedicate a stream to it, man, and just play it. It is fucking amazing.
Definitely will. So Division, what have you been doing there? Shields and stuff?
I've got a PC character now, so I have to get it up to scratch and do all the shields and stuff. And the next one drops on the 6th of December, so...
It does. And as we're talking, Siege, as you were mentioning before, that the Wind Bastion launches overnight.
Yeah.
So, about 1 o'clock in the morning. So pretty excited for that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be on playing that tomorrow night for sure.
Yeah. So I guess if you're finished talking and Josh doesn't want to talk and Perko just doesn't want to talk to us at all, I get to talk now for the next 15 minutes. So I did a thing.
You've got five.
Oh, damn it. I beat Spider-Man in last week's episode that you never heard. So that actually happened. I finished it, rolled credits. And then half an hour before we started this podcast tonight, I platinumed it. So it's my first ever platinum in history.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So that was... Yeah, I turned it off and I sat back and I reflected and I went, yep, that's cool. I enjoyed doing that, except for fucking the last 50 crimes that I had to bloody stop. That was the only thing I had to do. I was like, fuck, this is taking forever. And then I get frustrated and die online. I'm like, fuck, that's another one I've got to do now. Oh, shit. But it was good because I was actually playing it with my kids and the kids would watch and they'd tell me when there's crime and they'd cheer me on. And my boy loves Spider-Man and superheroes, so it was really good to...
That's really cool. That's really awesome that he was cheering you on. That's really nice to hear.
So, Spider-Man, did that, platinumed it. We'll have thoughts when we finally get to a Game of the Year episode on that, but I need to get Timmy playing it because it's so good. It's so good.
I just got to find the time, man. I'm so time poor at the moment. It's ridiculous.
Especially for a game like that. But... what released today in early sort of, if you pre-ordered the gold edition, you got a 24-hour early access, which the game releases on the 4th of December. Because of Steam's stupid international release rules, the 24-hour early access got me it at 3 a.m. on the 4th of December, 3 hours after it released full version on every other console. But anyway, that's a thing that happened, and I'll be playing Just Cause 4 most of today until a thunderstorm rolled through and absolutely tore my neighborhood apart, lost power and couldn't play anything, couldn't stream. But it's very different to Just Cause 3, but it still feels very the same. Like the movement is still what I enjoy, of basically that Spider-Man feel of just swinging around the world with your grappling hook and your wingsuit and your parachute. But and blowing things up is just as satisfying. And I was playing it before the podcast and Timmy was hearing me rave on about giving people in balloons and then putting a jetpack on them and then watching them spin around in the sky until they blew up, and then randomly cars that I'd set flying into the sky would come down falling in front of me and blow up just randomly. And what was the other one? There was these spinning spheres, and they spin around really fast, and if you attach a grappling hook to one person and then to that, they spin around on it. And it looks hilarious because it's just...
I honestly couldn't tell the difference between the two, men. I'm really sorry. Between 3 and 4, it looks exactly the same.
No, it's a mission structure that's completely different. So, in 3, they did the quick tutorial sort of thing, and then chucked you out in the world, and you just had to basically liberate all these camps, and that's what I did. You didn't have to touch a storyline if you didn't want to. So. I think in Just Cause 4, they're forcing you more to do story missions.
Yeah.
And they're giving you sort of a front line where you can choose how you sort of push the Black Hand back with the rebellion that you've started. So you need to actually go in and cause chaos to grab more people, to push them into the front line, to sort of push back the Black Hand. I just wanted to go around destroying outposts and ticking off boxes on what I was blowing up, but I haven't found that yet. It is very mission structured, but still freely opened where you can go do that mission structure however you want, which is good. But I sort of missed that whole checkbox of there's 5 oil tanks and there's 15, you know, outpost satellite dishes to destroy and stuff like that. I missed that structure. Because that was just fun, but maybe that opens up later on in the game. But yeah, I'm having a blast. It's games made for me, and I can't wait for the next 3 weeks of me playing this until I finally finish it.
Have you like taken time off work to like play it? Or?
I took today off work, sort of technically. I needed a day off anyway, and it just Tuesdays are really bad, and it just happened. I thought today was going to be pretty good, so I brought an extra guy in, and it just sort of all the things fell into place and.
Oh, good.
I finished. So when I took that day off work, I started at 3:30 a.m. and I finished at 8. So I still did, you know, 4.5 hour day. And then I came home, mowed the lawns and all this other stuff, and sort of about 10 o'clock got on and streamed for 2 hours. So it wasn't really a day off. I still did like 7 or 8 hours worth of work. So It's been fun. But Just Cause 4, if you like Just Cause 3, you've got to get Just Cause 4.
I wish you guys could hear me shaking my head right now. All we've heard about is Just Cause.
Look, this game released today, Just Cause 4. It's really good, guys.
To be fair, Just Cause is another series of games that I've never played.
I'm not going to say you should, and definitely go do it, because, like I said, it's a very unique style of game, and it's a very polarizing game.
Yeah.
I've seen people that love games I love, and then all of a sudden you throw them at it and they just go, oh,
this is shit.
It's just boring. It's the same thing over and over again. I think that's what they're like. I just love that. It's just therapeutic just to go in and go, okay, I can see those silver and red things there. I need to blow them up and then just work out how to do it. And in the most insane ways you possibly do it. It's just a physics-based sandbox game with explosions. So
yeah, right.
You do it however you want, but yeah, it's very much if you want a good story, you don't play this game. if you want like really, you know, challenging mechanics and things like that, you don't play this game. If you just want to muck around, have fun, enjoy yourself, and just be stupid and see insane things happen, then this game is perfectly for you.
So, yeah, right.
Yeah, but I think that's all we've been up to.
Yep.
Let's go into this.
This is the fucking news.
It's that time of year, people. There's not much happening at the moment. We've got Game Awards happening this Thursday, the 7th of December. So we'll have lots of news next week, which is when we're doing our game. That's not going to work. But anyway, we'll have lots of stuff happening. But let's start with Bethesda.
Good old Bethesda.
What a month. It's like the gift that honestly keeps on giving, eh? Like, it really it is.
So we can probably wrap up. There's about five things in here for Bethesda. So let's start. Let's jump through. So Elder Scrolls Blades has been delayed on the mobile to 2019. Yeah, cool. I know you played it, Timmy, at PAX.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
I thought it was all right. Yeah. I thought it was interesting. I don't know. I'm not really into... mobile phone games, while some of them are great, I'm not hooked by all of them, and it was one that I just was kind of like, yeah, it's all right, it's pretty good, it's going to appeal to some markets, and then I just went and played something else.
Look, let's be realistic though. The comment is it's delayed to early 2019, which is really such a fucking throwaway comment, considering that 2019 is 3 weeks away.
Yeah,
you know.
So it could be anything.
You know, like it could for all we know, it could release the first week of January, which is still early 2019. It probably won't. It'll be sometime in March. But you know what I mean? It's such a fucking throwaway comment to say that.
Mm.
Yeah, it is. But I don't think we want to talk about it too much longer. Let's go into the next part of Bethesda. They released $300 Australian collector's edition. And the whole canvas bag that you're supposed to get in it end up being a nylon crappy bloody Woolies shopping center bag with Fallout 76 written on it. Apparently a canvas shortage. The world's first canvas shortage happened.
The world's first canvas shortage.
I've never heard of a canvas shortage in my life.
Yeah,
canvas,
you know, people buying too many fucking tents. That's what's going on. You know, too many swags happening.
So yeah, that was their excuse, and they just forgot to tell people that, hey, yeah, sorry, that cool canvas bag, we're just going to chuck in the spare shopping bags we got with Fallout 76 on.
Now, there is. Did I see something about they're going to resend replacement bags out?
Yeah. As of today, if you contact them, they will send out the canvas bags now. But the first response was, oh, we're really sorry. We had the shortage, the great canvas shortage of 2018 hit, and we couldn't do it. And we're going to give you $5 worth of in-game currency.
This has just been an absolute clusterfuck. This whole thing has just been fucking ridiculous. Yeah. Like, let's break it down, okay? So the first thing they lied to the consumer. And most countries have...
False advertising.
Most countries have laws against that. So it's false advertising to start with. And they did the wrong thing and they got caught doing the wrong thing. So there were two ways they could have approached this. They could have actually refunded people money, which would have been the smartest idea, and, you know, found out the value of the canvas bag, how much it would have cost to make, and refunded that amount of money back to the consumer as, like... honest, like, money, not fucking in-game credits. But they decided, no, $5 is the way to go. So first of all, the narrative wasn't at to begin with. The narrative wasn't that there was a canvas shortage. It was that it was too expensive to make. So what they were saying is, it's too expensive for us to actually have made for you, but it's only worth $5 in digital currency, which just does not make sense. Like, if they'd added an extra zero to those atoms, maybe that's a legit compromise. But even
and the
then,
best part is, all these players, like, they've got a game that they've released, and, you know, this is a week and a half later, and everyone's pretty much done with it. But here, have $5 and go back and spend it on a game you're probably not going to play again for a while.
But, yeah, it's...
Now,
it's
before you get to the second point, Timmy, I just want to find out, because I haven't played Fallout 76, but I'd be interested to find out if that $5 in-game would actually get you anything.
You know what it gets you?
Would you then have to spend more money to actually use the $5?
Here's what it gets you, my friend. It gets you a door... or some plants. You actually cannot buy.
Not even a full succulent.
You can't even buy the outfit, the postman outfit, which has a fucking canvas bag in the actual skin. All right. So the second thing.
Oh, fuck off. So seriously, they've gone, here's $5 to spend in game, knowing full well that people will get that and go, yeah, but I really want this, so I'll spend more money.
Yeah.
Knowing full.
So
fuck them.
This is the second thing that needs to happen, but Bethesda need to sort their shit out, right? The PR department needs to just stop. They need to stop and say, look, guys, we are not making this any better. We need to really think about what our next move is. And that next move needs to be, one, they get Todd Howard on a camera and get him to apologize sincerely to Fallout fans and say, I'm sorry, this game is not up to scratch. You've voiced your opinion. You've made it, like, you know, we've heard what you're saying. We're going to spend this X amount of time getting this game up to the level that it needs to be at. And we're going to drop the price of the game by 50% for good. Like, that should be the first thing they do. And then the second thing is they all need to clean out their desks because they have made a fucking mess of this entire thing. And they just keep making it worse. And now that they're sending out the bags, which is a really good move on their behalf to do that, but it's going to end up being more expensive than what it was to originally manufacture the bag. So I'm just... Bethesda have just really gone... This year, they've turned around and gone, everything that we have learned over the last, you know, what, how long have they been around? 10, 15 years? 20 years? Everything we have learned, let's just throw it away and just maverick the shit out of this year. And it has backfired so badly on them.
Oh, fuck. That's so good. So, and even saying they're too expensive to make, but now we're going to make them. Like, fuck.
Yeah. See, like, someone, there's an awards company, one of the Game of the Year things put out that Bethesda was one of the publishers of the year. And I'm like, I went through, I had a look at what they've released this year, and they haven't actually released anything outside of a port of Wolfenstein to Switch. This screams of, oh shit, we haven't released anything this year. We've got nothing really until Rage 2 next year because that got delayed. Fuck. We've got that Fallout 4. There'll be people who make mods for that. Let's fucking make a game out of that from those mods. Let's fucking put it out. Because we've got otherwise the shareholders are going to be, what the fuck?
It just honestly, and the worst thing is that it just smells so much like a cash grab. It's blatant cash grab.
Fuck. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
And I still believe in Bethesda as a company. I believe that they're going to do the right thing when it comes to the next couple of games. But
I honestly think Rage 2 releases next year and everyone's going to forget about this whole Fallout 76 because it's going to be fucking...
Rage 2 apparently is pretty fucking legit, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just... I just honestly... I'm at a loss for words as to what has happened to Bethesda this year. It's just like their PR department has just gone home and sent their kids to work for you know, the entire year.
They've hired a couple of fucking interns.
Yeah, bring your kids to work day went the fucking full on a little bit too far.
Oh, just fuck me, man. Like, I've not seen I've seen some pretty scummy shit from companies and some pretty retarded stuff, but I don't think I've seen anything like how just they've bumbled from one thing to the other.
Yeah, that's been the fun part.
GG, now, Bethesda, GG.
We'll move on to what they're actually doing, which is fairly good, I guess, is they're banning players for being dickheads in Fallout 76. So, Josh, you know more about this than me.
Yeah, so I was having a quick read of this earlier. So, basically, there was a bunch of players that were running around, and I think they were saying that... Where is it? They were going to come up with a plan to eliminate all gays. Which is just... Okay.
Why would you? They're like, 14-year-old, 15-year-olds. Come on. Yeah. Hopefully they are. Fuck, if they're not, oh, there's some problems in the world. You know, there's some problems in the world.
Yeah. You know, and so apparently they're just running around it in the video that is out there. You know, we've come to eliminate all gays and running around. And look, they've done the right thing. They've banned them for life from Fallout 76.
Yeah.
Which realistically probably isn't going to take that. It depends how they ban them. If it's just off your... You know, if the
well, they've got an PSN,
which was just like banning them for life is literally like, you know, they were probably going to play the game for a week and stop playing it anyway. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, they're at the end of it anyway. They're like, oh, fuck, how can we go out with a bang? Let's make ourselves on the news.
Yeah, so,
crazy, absolutely crazy.
But I think it just goes to show, and you know, ignoring Bethesda and the game and everything like that, just how much, and I mean, we could probably look at Red Dead 2 and games like that. How much there's just griefers in these kind of games, man, that just need to shut the fuck up, really, and fuck off.
Yeah, it's...
At the end of the day.
What is happening? What is happening to some of the young generation, really? It's just... It's crazy.
I don't give up on it anyway. So that's our Bethesda roundup. I think I've got them all.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers everything.
I'm trying to find the rest of... Because we're going to move into the Game Awards roundup because there's been a... We hadn't had anything. We knew there was like 8 or 9 brand new titles being announced at the show. And for the life of us, I couldn't even... There's no rumours going around at all, except for the silly Superman one, which is the first point of the news. Rocksteady is not making a Superman game. That is confirmed. They've come out after all the leaks that were, hey, the Superman's going to be announced at the thing. They've said, no, we're not making a Superman game, and we're not going to be at the Game Awards.
Which kind of which kind of sucks, because Rocksteady did... like. Those Batman games were really good. You know?
Whatever they bring out next is going to be legit, and I really hope it's going to be Turtles.
Is there has there actually been a good Superman game?
No.
Has there been a good Superman movie?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Cuz the Superman Dawn of Dawn of Justice was Man of Steel and
Man of Steel
and Batman vs Superman.
Batman vs Superman.
Justice League. They're all fucking terrible.
They're terrible. So, look, that's not happening, people. So don't get your hopes up about that. What is happening is Obsidian, which has just been bought by Microsoft, are announcing or teasing that sometime in December you'll hear what our next project is, and it's got a sort of an in-game logo of something to do with a spaceship. So, look, Obsidian, who's made some really good games like, what's the Old Republic 2 or 1? I can never remember which one they made. Yeah, always get 2. That. But obviously, Wasteland, the original Fallout, Fallout New Vegas, I think. I'm butchering this, I'm sure, but there's really good RPG games developer here. Teasing something about space, and we'll have it announced at the Game Awards. So I'm pretty excited to hear that
cool.
kind of stuff.
That's cool.
Something to look forward to,
Yeah, also the Russo brothers are attending the Games Awards and will be a presenter, which has got the world on fire because we are due for a Avengers 4 trailer because I think there's some some lead up comics that are going to be sort of releasing next week or this week now.
Well, I think I'm going to need them.
Yeah, so by that stage, we probably should know what the name of the movie will be.
Avengers 4.
Which means we probably should have a trailer to go with it, which means it could be that, or it could just be the Avengers game getting more information, or a whole new Marvel game being announced. Mm-hmm. But
I really hope it's not a game, because most of those games that get announced don't really do very well. I mean, look at Captain America and Thor and Marvel Online. Like, it just...
Were games?
Square Enix is now in charge of the Marvel license, so... Yeah.
Fills me with such hope.
Come on, they make...
Sorry, games. I'm really jaded tonight. I don't know why.
You're very jaded
They brought us a little game called Just Cause 4 that's the heart of the nation.
Oh, fuck off. Keeping with the whole Marvel thing. Captain Marvel trailer dropped today.
It did.
I was going to say, are we going to talk about the other elephant in the room as well?
We'll get to the other elephant. Let's do the good. Let's build our spirits back up first, gents, before we destroy them again. So have you guys watched that trailer?
Yeah, it was really good. Our trailer was even like I don't know anything about Marvel. I was sitting there like I was like, oh, this looks good.
I'm fucking keen. I am keen.
Because this is the movie before the finale of the
whatever
the
phase
Marvel
we're in.
Phase 3, yeah. Which is what basically the last 11 years of their production schedule has been leading up to, and we find out what happens to Thanos in May. Mm, so
Avengers
this is 4,
yeah.
Introducing the character that they had the Easter egg at the end of Marvel Avengers Infinity War as well. So it's going to be a big movie anyway, but this trailer just fucking off
now, next level.
Yeah, like go and watch it seriously, but yeah. I've got to say, so everybody knows, and I wouldn't class it as a spoiler, but everybody knows that Nick Fury's got two eyes in this movie, in Captain Marvel.
He does. That's set a while ago, yes.
So in the new trailer, and go and watch it, it's good, but in the new trailer where he's playing with that kitten,
yep.
I was really hoping that was how he lost his eye. Like the cat just freaks the fuck out, you know, and takes his eye. And then, you know, like through all the other movies, it's as if he's like this grizzled war hero. No, he just lost it from a cat. Like, that's what I was really hoping for.
No, I just, the greatest thing that, like, the Marvel Universe has achieved, though, at the moment, like the new films and stuff, is the fact that they can make Samuel L. Jackson look young. Like, that is just magic. That is absolute
magic.
Yeah. Space magic, mate. Space magic.
But let's move on to the next part of the news, because I'm really struggling to contain my aggression. But they fucking cancelled Daredevil. What the fuck?
Especially after the last season, which you've just finished it, Josh.
Yeah, I really enjoyed season 3.
3 of the best seasons of television that you will get on a streaming service. Easy.
Okay. Easy. That's a bit of a big call. I think season 2 was a bit of a quiet.
Mate, if you had a season 2, you'd be a bit quiet as well. Just No, I am just everyone says to me, "Oh, but it's going to Disney." And it's like, "Yeah, but why would they not just hand the license over to Disney and then say, you know, like the same cast, same director, like not even cancel it? Why did they have to make a big song and dance about canceling it? Just quietly hand it over in the night." Like,
so what?
TV shows do change networks all the time. Yeah. So what's the thing? They stay together as a show, though.
What's the only one that hasn't been cancelled yet? Because that's the third one. So we've lost Iron Fist, Daredevil's gone, and Jessica Jones is gone, or is Jessica Jones still the only one? Is it Luke Cage or Jessica Jones?
Still there, yeah.
Yep. Okay,
yeah,
so Luke Cage got canned.
Yeah.
So I've got to wonder, and you know, conspiracy hat time, boys. I've got to wonder if this was planned with the snap, because there's not one series in like season 3 of Daredevil, which is, I guess you could say, the latest season, happens before Avengers.
Before it all.
So I've just got to wonder if it's just not all going to be wrapped up and say, hey, yeah, they died too. Because it is the same universe. We know that.
Yeah, we do know that.
We know that.
If we're going to go conspiracy theory hats, why not? Let's go the whole way. Jeff Keighley, the person behind the Game Awards, who has the Russo brothers joining them as a presenter, as we talked about beforehand. The big theme he's been pushing all the way up is worlds will change, I think it is, which could very well be a reference to Avengers, because worlds will change if they have to jump across dimensions to get the people that they need back, which is one of the very big theories going on. So
I've just got to wonder if it's like, if it hasn't been planned from the start, that's how it's going to happen, you know. And they're making a big song
whatever
and dance
they want
about
with it with all new characters, because they can set it in a whole new, or they bring across a whole new universe, so
you know,
could be. We'll never find out.
No, we'll,
and not for another couple of years yet. But
I think
all we know now is Timmy's upset.
Yeah,
and
that's very. I don't know.
Rage.
Look, I would be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Jessica Jones gets cancelled before Avengers 4.
I don't think that she's getting another season. I don't think they've announced it yet.
I reckon it's the whole point of it is a clean slate.
Yep.
Just clean slate
and
everything.
And that ties in. Like, I was always suspect when Netflix got the rights to all these Marvel shows, and then Disney came along and said, oh, we're doing our own streaming service. So I'm like, well, how's that going to work?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it makes sense if they've written it in to say, hey, sorry, It's what they did with the X-Men, with the comics. They just basically killed off all the X-Men in the comics when Fox wouldn't give them back X-Men.
Yeah.
And they just went, fucking, okay. They're all dead.
They're all dead now.
And, they do shit like that. So, it doesn't surprise me if that is what happens. So,
yeah. I don't know. That's just a thought.
Just makes me sad. Just makes me so sad. That was such a great show. The guy that played Matt Murdock was just amazing.
He does it so well. He plays a blind guy so well.
Yeah.
Just, he's got, it was good. It was good.
So, on to the news. Let's go into Pokemon Go is actually still getting updates, apparently. PvP is coming to Pokemon Go is what we're trying to say. Finally.
How toxic is that going to get?
Oh, I can't wait.
Imagine the person who loses in the game actually then starts fighting in real life.
DDoS is someone because they lose.
So that's coming.
That's happening. So people are still playing Pokemon Go, which I was thinking about the other day because we've got to think about our awards at the moment, and there's like best ongoing game. I think Pokemon Go's had a pretty good year, to be honest.
It has.
From all the updates. I haven't played it, though.
It has. I've started playing it again, only because I'm walking so much and I want something to fucking do while I'm walking for 5 kilometres. But, that's fair. You know.
Have you tied it in with your Pokemon Going Let's Go Eevee?
Yeah, I have, but because I haven't been playing that very much, I haven't got to the point where I can start transferring shit across. But that is coming.
It is. Okay. Yeah. So, I missed the easiest and best segue in all the world before too. So, speaking of anime series and different TV series, Blade Runner anime series is coming. You guys excited?
Yeah.
I've never watched Blade Runner.
Ooh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that I didn't want to. I've just never sat down and watched it.
I did. And then I think I've watched... I haven't watched the new one.
Haven't you? Spoilers. No. They die.
Surprise.
Thanks.
I can't even remember it. I watched it and something happened. I don't know. Harrison Ford's in it.
Yeah. Old again.
It's forgettable.
Yeah. See, I went back and watched the first Blade Runner. It might have only been the start of this year for the first time.
Yes.
And, you know, I know it's a cult classic and all that, but I just... it didn't click with me. You know?
That's fair.
And probably because it's so old.
But it is getting anime series, which could be sick, to be honest. But anyway, we'll see when it comes out. Other than that, there's one big thing and there's one stupid thing that I don't really want to talk about. Well, let's go to the stupid thing first. Rainbow Six Siege. Yes, so they're having a tournament overseas in Europe. It's called DreamHack, and they didn't have enough teams nominate. So a group of mates who'd never played the game before decided to nominate and got in, calling themselves Mini Golf Gutter, based on the mini golf. I think that's a translation to Mini Golf Boys. They played some Counter-Strike together, but they absolutely got walloped in DreamHack over the weekend. So congratulations, boys, for making the news.
So let's quickly touch on that. You said the whole point was that they didn't have enough teams nominate. For the tournament?
Yes.
Is that, and again, having never played Siege, is that because of the, like, is it not as big over in Europe?
No,
like,
I think it's because they...
Is it a new tournament?
Up,
like,
I think they opened up more nominations group than stages, they did before.
Yeah.
So we're talking that these guys seeded into Pool C. I don't know how many people were in it, actually. I've got to go... I didn't get a chance to look into it, but I did think they aimed for more than... bigger than they should.
They took on Space Station Gaming, which is one of NA's like better teams, and they got 14-0. So they got like there's two matches, and you first to 7 wins essentially, and they got 7-0 in the first map and 7-0 in the second map. So
not too
they should go
bad.
Back to Fnatic, to be honest.
Yeah, but Fnatic at least competed. They at least made it to the semis.
No, it's look. I don't think it's. It's growing from strength to strength. It just had a third birthday on the weekend. I think it's just the organisers, to be honest.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think it's anything to do with the game.
The disappointing thing is it happened off stream. I'm going to actually make a point about that. I was very disappointed that some of the games at DreamHack actually didn't make it onto stream. Apparently, one of the best games of the actual tournament was between G2 and Team Liquid, and they were the only team there that pushed G2 to the point of almost losing. Like, it was 2-1 victory, but apparently the last map was super close, And Pengu came out and said, who's one of G2's team members, said that that was the best game of competitive Pro League play that he has ever been a part of. And wow. And that he wished it had been streamed. Yeah, like, I mean, that's just shit. That is absolutely
bad organizing. That points to the bad organization of it, to be honest. But you want every game that G2's playing to be streamed, no matter what.
Yeah.
These are the current finals champions.
G2 at the moment, like, let's be completely honest, G2 at the moment is an unstoppable force.
Yeah.
And NA cannot do anything about it. North America can't do anything about it because they keep shuffling their players around. Like, they'll have a bad season. For example, you know, like, who just Space Station Gaming, for you, like, didn't have a great season. So they just, instead of investing time into their players and going, righto, guys, let's try again next season. If we have bad luck next season, then we consider a roster shuffle. They just went, you know, get lost. And half, like two teams just shut down completely and got, like, taken out. Like, they were just disbanded. Mm. And it's like, how is there supposed to be any stability in your team if you're just swapping and changing all the time?
Like, I think the other point to the fact that there wasn't enough nominations is, correct me if I'm wrong, Timmy, but the invitationals, the last two open card qualifiers are going on at the moment, aren't they?
Yes. I'm just, hang on, let me see if I can pull up the tweet from the person that who would actually, he put up a tweet earlier about this. There's still spots left.
There's still two spots in the invitation.
Yeah, so we've
got... This will go to anyone at all. Anyone in the world can get a team together and go through the qualifiers.
So the teams, the teams at the moment are G2 Esports, Mocket, Penta, Cloud9, Evil Geniuses, Rogue, FaZe Clan, Immortals, Nora Rengo, and Fnatic. There are still two EU, two Latin America, two Australian Pacific, and two North American spots. Oh, sorry, two.
No, they can go into the... one of those, they get qualifiers from these open qualifiers, and then they go and play off for these last two spots. So there's
online qualifier spots still remaining. Is 2x European, 2x Latin America, 1 APAC, and 1 North America. So there's still, you know, like, the Six Invitational is a great tournament. And
$1 million US now and growing. So
if you're an APAC team, you've got a shot. Like, have a crack. Exactly. Yeah.
So the only other thing, we touched on it last week fairly in depth, is with when Australia basically said we're going to look into loot boxes. But now America, in their Senate, or the way that we have the houses work over there, government, fucking rah-rah-rah, FTC has been asked to look into loot boxes in America as well now. So rip EA share prices. Rip. But yeah, this is something that will... I don't think it'll change the industry much anymore, because I think we're self-regulated to a point where it's okay, except for EA.
Xbox is going to be circling EA very, very soon. Mark my words.
We talked about this on our podcast we lost last week about Microsoft finally jumping in. Their stock price is so low, EA. It's a great buy. But imagine the licenses that Microsoft would then have at their disposal.
Yeah.
Burnout would be able to come back. All the sports games you could only get on Xbox.
They'd still release them on both formats because it's a moneymaker. You wouldn't see something like Battlefield be a Xbox only franchise. But people would lose their shit.
Ooh, you reckon?
One or two of them, they could turn around and say, hey, this is now Xbox only.
I don't think they would. If you took the entire sports market, like FIFA and Madden and, you know, Battlefield and even games like Anthem, and put them as a console, one console only, people would fucking scream murder.
But imagine Microsoft with the Star Wars franchise license.
Yeah, see because Microsoft haven't given us in recent history anything that's worth writing home about, really. Yeah, from like saying that Microsoft, you know, if they bought EA, would get the Star Wars franchise. Like, yeah, but they'll drop it. Like, they've dropped everything else. That's what their track record is currently.
EA won't have it. If they then on-sell it to someone else, we could get good games in that again. EA's just locking down licenses at the moment. That's where their value is outside of loot boxes. And if that gets taken away, it's just their licenses that they hold on to, and the studios, talent that in their studios that they have, which is getting limited the more they get rid of people.
Anyways,
like, technically, I think they'd get the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic license, and Obsidian would be working for them. Like, is one of their in-house studios.
It'd be a dream made in, like, a match made in heaven.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Yeah.
You've really got me going wild about this now, Timmy. Yeah, but I hate you for it.
It's still...
It's not going to happen now.
No, I'm just telling you, like, if they come down hard on loot boxes, you will smell blood in the water because EA will be in real trouble.
Yeah, they've got no other revenue and they've got no other... Especially if Anthem flops. Yeah. Like, Anthem is their... Oh, they're saving grace if it's good.
I'm not confident.
I just don't think it will be.
I'm not confident at all.
No.
I'm being cautiously optimistic.
But it has to be like seriously good. And but they're releasing it now into a market that is getting to the point of saturation, especially with Division 2, like within 2 weeks after it. And if Division 2 does the common sense thing and says, hey, our open beta is the 22nd of February, enjoy Division 2, see what it's like on the same day that Anthem releases, like, fuck, that could do some shit to people. But anyway, that's the news, everyone. It's lots of exciting stuff going on at the moment. We have got some listener feedback. We will go into that. We have got a specific one from Cal, a member of Locked On Podcast.
We do.
Specifically for Perko. We won't ask that question this week. We'll ask it next week. It's a request more than anything. We've got Zero, though, the lovely Zero that's joined our Discord. Welcome, mate. Welcome. He's a Rainbow Six star. So, what made you guys start playing Siege? Was it a rage quit against the game like PUBG, like it was for him, or another game, or was it some friends that got you hooked on it? We'll start with Josh because I know you don't play the game, so you can just say pass.
No, look, I've actually been playing a fair bit of Siege. That's where we've been spending all... No, I don't play it, sorry.
So, Timmy, what got you into Siege?
I think it's the appeal from a tactical point of view. Like, it's not just your normal run, gun, and shoot, like a run, gun shooter. It's not your COD or your Battlefield. Like, you actually have to think. There's verticality. There's utility play. Like, there's just so much going on in the game that you've always got to be aware of, and there's so many ways that you can outsmart your opponent. You know, like, yeah, for me personally, I love, at the moment, I'm really experimenting with defenders from playing above. So, like, if you're playing a bomb, I'll go upstairs and I'll use, like, you know, put a mirror down upstairs, put one downstairs and one upstairs, and then put, like, and then blow a portion of the floor out with the shotgun. And just sit there, like, and just wait. And people don't expect when they jump through a window for someone to be above them with a murder hole. And it's amazing. Like, it's for me, it's the pinnacle of tactical first person shooters. I haven't seen a game that has hooked me like Siege has. And I'm fucking terrible at it, but I cannot stop. I can't stop watching it. I can't. Like, I watched all of DreamHack pretty much, and just like it was up until 4 a.m. watching the final. I just love it. I absolutely love it. When shit goes down in that game, like, you can be... Nothing can happen for 2.5 minutes, and then in the last 30 seconds, everyone fucking dies. And it just happens in a flurry. And I love it. It's just... It's like chess. It's like 4D chess for me. It's just out of this world.
When did you start playing it?
Probably about... Well, I played the original game on launch, and it was a train wreck. And then I returned to it about a year later, and I was like, wow, the improvements that they've made on this game are just phenomenal. And
what brought you back then? Just decided to want to have another
I started playing it on console with friends, and I was just like, this is my jam. This is great.
Sweet. So I've got a very different story. I played it at launch as well. Went, nope, this game's not me. In the beta, actually, I went, nah, this game's not for me. And, then the people I was playing with back in the day on PS4 said, well, we're playing Siege now. I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. I can't play that. And they're like, no, just get it. It was one of the cheap weekends, so I picked it up and started playing it. So they got me into it to start with. And then 2 years ago, pretty much tomorrow or the next day, it's the 7th we released the actual podcast Locked On for the first time, 2 years ago, 7th of December. So at PAX, that previous to that, I was having a chat to your mate Skill Up, and I was talking about mate, getting a division.
Mate's a bit of a loose term, mate. Love you, Skill Up.
Your mate.
But you had a chat to him one-on-one, and sort of was saying that, yeah, look, I want to talk about the division a bit more, and because back then he was a bit of a division dude, and but then obviously wanted to do a Wildlands one because Wildlands is about to come out. Yeah. And then sort of he suggested maybe you should look at doing Tom Clancy ones. And I went, yeah, I'd thought about that, but I don't really know much about Siege. But then we had Butters, who was a really good Siege player, which is one of those friends that got me into Siege in the first place. I went, well, this could actually work.
Really, so, really good Siege player is a bit of a loose term, mate. Just
he knows Siege, so he was actually knew what was going on. So he had the ability to talk about it. So, but so from there, that slowly pulled me further and further in as we've gone 2 years into the podcast, reporting on it and talking about it a lot more. That's what's dragged me really into
considering we're talking about Siege, can I make a bit of a big announcement? This is like no one's actually heard this announcement, so it's a world first.
Breaking news.
I've lined up a few interviews with some various esports and people from the Siege world, and starting next year, I'll be doing a documentary/30-minute interviews with these people and releasing them on YouTube.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty much going to document the history of Siege as a video game from launch to where it is now. So
check that out. Where can people find
it? It's YouTube. It's just search Uber Timmy on YouTube. But there's nothing there really at the moment except a couple of Detroit Become Human playthroughs. But that's coming next year. I'm dedicating a lot of my time to it next year. And I've got some people lined up for interviews already. I'm pretty happy about it, so.
Sick. That's going to be awesome. So check that out. So end of the day, friends got me into it. That was it. I didn't rage quit from anything else, but it's always been there in the background, niggling at me. So yeah. That's all the questions we have for this week. If you want to give us some questions, definitely go to our Discord. We've got a whole channel there. Check it out. It's got the Megacast. Just put your questions in there. We'll answer them on the next episode. If you hit us up on Twitter as well, UltraSuperMega_ at the end. You can hit us up there and send us questions through that, or on the Facebook UltraSuperMegaGames. Because branding is our thing. We get the same. Nothing's the same here. It's ridiculous. But anyway. What are we looking forward to, Josho? Start with you, mate. Warframe?
I don't know. So, I've spoken to you guys about it a little bit, but next year's going to be a fairly different kind of outlook for me. I'm doing a lot more
is getting sport, a sex change,
I guess. So I'm
nothing
playing,
wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Not that we're against. Not that there's anything wrong with that. So I've signed up to an AFL team here in town. So I'm going to be playing local AFL.
There is something wrong with that. AFL is just terrible.
Have you got is there an Uber service that goes straight from the AFL field to the hospital?
No. We got to walk. But so I'm going to play that. And I'm going to do a lot more with squash next year as well. I'm going to start playing in a lot more tournaments, which is going to chew up a lot of my time. So throughout a week, Monday through to Thursday, it looks like I pretty much won't be home till 8, 9 o'clock at night or later, depending on certain training and stuff.
That's your stupid fault, to be honest.
Jesus.
So at the moment, it's probably not a lot of game time coming up for me. But with that said, I am looking forward to hopefully getting my hands on Super Smash over Christmas on the Switch. And then just the start of next year, all those games that are starting to come out February, March kind of time frame, Division 2, I'll probably pick up Anthem, all of that kind of stuff. When I get time to play it and sit down and enjoy it, I think is going to be what I'm keen for.
Yeah, so it is that time of year where pretty much everything's released, especially now Just Cause 4 is in the wild. So nothing much to look forward to. Timmy, give us something, though. What are you looking forward
to? Nothing. This year's been a fucking write-off, honestly.
It's been my favourite year ever, to be honest. But anyway.
I'm just looking forward to
next year. You're an Xbox fanboy, that's right.
I'm just looking forward to next year. No, I play on PC now, but I mean, apart from God of War and Detroit Become Human and Spider-Man and pretty much only PlayStation exclusive games, there's been nothing else out that's been worth playing.
Yeah. They've easily the cream of the crop, those three titles.
And I'm very disappointed this year. I have a lot of experience working with video game releases, and I think this year has been the poorest that we've seen.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought last year's lineup was pretty good. I think we we killed it in terms of what came out last year for, you know, player, like players were sport for choice and it was good choice. This year has just been trash.
Yeah.
The only big notable AAA game I think that really succeeded this year was Red Dead Redemption 2.
Really?
And COD as well. Those two were the standouts.
COD had a comeback, yeah.
So. Are you thinking more along the lines of like a multi-platform?
I think, and I mean, like, they just sort of were worth the price point. I don't feel like Battlefield was. I don't feel like Fallout was.
God of War?
Yeah, God of War was. Like, I mean, I'm talking about AAA back end of the year releases. Those are the two that really stood out. Like, last year, there were so many games that released in the last, you know, 3 months of the year, and most of them were quality. In this year, we got Assassins, which was good. It's not fantastic, but it's good. Then we got, you know, we had Call of Duty and we had Red Dead Redemption 2, but then you had, like, Battlefield and you had your Fallout and you've got Just Cause and you've got, like, those games that are average.
Do you think that's an issue to do with the whole fact that Red Dead Redemption 2 did launch?
No, I think that's just AAA. I just think that's AAA publishing at the moment. The games are just getting pushed out that are just, I don't know, like, they're just incomplete. They're just... You know, yeah. And they're not up to scratch. And in Australia, like, the recommended retail price for a game is $99.95, and a consumer's being asked to pay $100 for a game that's not even worth $50. I find that really disappointing. So,
yeah, that's fair. So you're looking forward to not being cranky, is what I'm.
Yeah, looking forward to getting through Christmas, and then looking forward to Anthem in February, and then March. Because I mean, Anthem is going to be something to do. It's going to be something to fill the time with. So, I'm looking forward to that, and then obviously March is the big one, Division 2. So,
yep.
It's really tough as a streamer at the moment because there's just not a lot out there to do. So,
just get on Just Cause 4. Easy.
I'm pretty sure he referenced that as one of those average releases of this year.
I'm pretty sure I did too. Yeah.
You did.
Yeah, I edited it out of the podcast.
Now, just talking about average releases and retail, just before you jump into it, I just want to point out, as I said, I did pick up Darksiders 3, but I thought it was great. That like 2 days after it hit the shelves at EB, every single one of their copies already had a sticker on it saying top game of 2018. I'm like, man, it's been out for like a fucking day. Like, you can't say that, you know?
And they're lying.
Oh, shit.
With a year of God of War, Detroit Become Human, Spider-Man, Red Dead Redemption 2, it is not one of the top games of 2018.
No.
Sorry. I'm looking forward to more Just Cause 4.
No. I'm going. See you later.
And then, basically Christmas break, I'm keen to play some games that I've missed this year. Especially, I want to try and get into a bit of COD and see what it's like. Red Dead Redemption 2, I want to get in and play the online and see how that grabs me more than the actual game did. But then, yeah. Just the start of next year is going to be insane. And all the Rainbow Six stuff that's coming up, all the Division 2 hype train that's going to happen over the next 12 weeks, I actually think there'll be some stuff. The Dark Zone stuff will drop at the Games Award this Thursday night.
I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sometime in December. I don't know when else they're going
to
do
it. I think we're not going to get anything for December, actually, if I'm honest. I think they're going to play their cards really close to their chest.
Push that news
back. I fucking hate that, but I think it's just what they're going to do.
Yeah. Anyway, but I'm looking forward to next year as well, but just catching up on the rest of the stuff I missed this year. So let's start with the voice of reason. Mate, where can people find you?
At work at the moment. Just, you know, walk into my office and say good day, because that's where I am. Now, on the Discord, mainly, if when I'm there at the moment as the voice of reason, say good day. If I'm at some point in the next 48 hours after you say good day, I may see that message and say good day back. That's kind of it.
Well, then you've already left the Discord.
Yeah.
Timmy, where can people find you?
Twitch.tv, uber_Timmy. Or on Twitter at UberTimmy. So,
and when is the Just Cause 4 stream starting for you?
Probably never, if I'm honest. Like, okay. Yeah,
that's fine.
Buy me a copy, I'll consider it.
You can find myself at Wilco Shields and all the places. I actually tweeted today, which is a miracle, and I streamed today, which is an even bigger miracle. But we're getting to the end of that silly season, so we'll be back fresh in the new year. But you can also find all our content at ultrasupermega.com.au. Also, the Discord, jump on there, which is actually on the social tab on that website. I mentioned the Facebook before, Ultra Mega Games. Twitter is ultramega_. Follow all our stuff. We've got some pretty cool stuff up at the moment. Perko, the meme master, is putting some cool stuff out on Facebook. So if you want to laugh, go check it out. But yeah, so we've got a lot of stuff happening. Game of the Year stuff happening very, very soon. The 4-hour, 5-hour podcast that is the Game of the Year episode.
Are we allowed to eat? Are we allowed to eat while we podcast? Because I'm not going to be able to go 5 hours.
No.
You're always too angry to eat.
Have you ever tried to do like the Lord of the Rings marathon where you're not allowed to, like, you've got to sit there and watch all of them and you can't leave the chair? Like, that's what it is, man. You're there for 6 hours, you're tied in. Yeah.
I think we'll shorten it a little bit this year. I'll get a little bit less angry and just say, whatever you want, I don't care, let's move on.
I'm gonna have to get a mute button for sure.
We'll sort it out. We'll get it out to you soon. But until then, this has been episode 105. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next time. See ya.
See you guys.